Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's hop out to the River Islands guest line because 3:15 on Wednesdays, this is our jam, man. This is our jam. We love this. Hanging out, spending some time with the senior producer of NFL Films, the absolute guru of the NFL film, and that is none other than Greg Cosell. Hey, Greg, what's cooking today?
Gentlemen, what's happening? I hope nobody's like getting too upset thinking like the whole season's falling apart now, you know?
No, the season's over.
It was a good run,
but Christian
McCaffrey. It was a good run, and, time to get rid of the quarterback, move on. You know, it's time to change everything. You know how it goes.
They say Super Bowl or bust. It's bust. Greg, we got so many questions for you. Can we start with this? Across the league, we're seeing a trend. It's only 2 weeks, but a lot less passing, a lot more running. Yep. We're watching quarterbacks have a hard time getting to 300 yards. What gives? Why?
There's probably a couple of reasons for that. Some could just be a function of, you know, teams not playing a lot of people in the preseason, which, you know, over time has an impact. And it has an impact in particular for offensive line play because those guys need to play and then find cohesion together. I think it has a lot to do, too, with how teams are playing defensively. There's more and more what we call too high structure defensively. It makes it harder to throw the ball at the intermediate and deeper levels. So you're seeing a lot more, they're not check downs necessarily, but a lot more short throws. And if those receivers get tackled, obviously you're not gaining a lot of yards. So, you know, those are just two things I can think of immediately. I hope people understand that I don't know what you're going to ask me. So, you know, those are two things that immediately came to my mind.
And I think those are good and accurate answers. And if you're a field goal kicker, you're loving it right now. But I want to focus on the first part of your answer, which is offensive line play, particularly with the 49ers, because it seemed like in the run game they were effective, but in the pass game looked like they struggled. What did you see from the Niners' O-line against Minnesota in week two?
Yeah, well, there were six sacks. The Vikings are one of the toughest defenses in the league to play because they're so multiple with what they do, with their fronts, with their looks. They put people up on the line of scrimmage. They move people around. So then you have to identify people. They rushed six an awful lot. Last year, by the way, they rushed six more than any team in the league, and they're basically doing that again. They rushed five or more on 20 of Purdy's 46 dropbacks. So they clearly were going after him. They're really good with stunts. And stunts are a great example of where you need communication with your offensive line. They struggled a bit at times in this game. But the Vikings are a really, really difficult defense to play against.
Greg, a couple of questions about the 49er receivers. As a group right now, they are last in the league in terms of separation. Is that A to B? Does that just mean Niner receivers are not running great routes and getting open? Could there be other reasons for that? What say you?
I don't know what that means, to be honest with you, because, you know, I have to watch the tape to see this kind of stuff. Those kinds of stats don't mean a lot to me because I don't know who's doing that, guys. I'm just being honest with you. It's just like when I see stats, well, quarterback being pressure throws. Well, I have to see what they mean by pressure. I don't know what they mean. So I don't know what the definition of separation is.
Well, can I ask it this way? Do you see that the Niner receivers are doing a good job of getting open?
Well, I know this, that the Vikings played more zone than man, so I don't know what the definition of separation means against zone coverage.
Got it.
So I would say that you have to understand one thing. Purdy completed 28 of 36. He made a lot of difficult throws in the middle of the field, which is what the 49ers offense is all about. It's throwing the ball between the numbers. Now, the Vikings came in with a plan where they wanted to play what we call robber coverage and lurk coverage, which tries to minimize throws between the numbers. That's what some teams do against the 49ers because that's the foundation of their pass game, is to work between the numbers. So you will see teams play robber coverage, which, by the way, the Cleveland Browns did last year in the game that the 49ers lost. So teams do this. In some weeks it works, some weeks it doesn't. If one thing worked all the time, everybody would do the same thing. So there are some weeks things work. For instance, you can play robber coverage and the 49ers can beat it, but let's say on the same play you have robber coverage, the pass rush gets home. So there's all kinds of reasons why things happen and don't happen in given in a game. To me, there was not a problem with the 49er pass game in terms of their receivers. I mean, I know he's going to be out for a number of weeks, but Samuel had a big game. They actually busted on a Kittle play early in the game for a 25-yard completion. Jennings had some plays, you know, in the middle of the field. So I didn't really think the 49ers pass game was a problem from Purdy's perspective.
What about from Brandon Ayuk's perspective? And I know that these are the first two games back and he had no preseason. Are you seeing the same sort of route ability that you talked about in the preseason, his short area quickness and his ability to be at top speed and break open on routes?
You know, I'm not studying him on every single play. You know, you have to understand one thing. A lot of times, you know, plays are called, and it might be a read to one side of the field. And if he's not on that side of the field, then, you know, he's not going to be involved in the progression necessarily. You would expect that as the season progresses, that he'll be more involved. Don't forget, he missed a lot of time. It would just be normal. And again, I'm not going to say this is true or not, because I'm not studying him on every play, but it would just be normal for him not to be at the level that, you know, that he can be at based on his physical abilities, because he missed a lot of time. And it, no matter how much, let's say, running he did on the outside, it's not the same as participating in camp, and it's not the same as playing in games. So it will probably take him a little time. And I'm sure now with Samuel out, McCaffrey still being out, and to be honest with you guys, I'm a little concerned about McCaffrey and the way this all played out. I'm just worried he might end up missing the season. But again, who knows? But I'm sure Ayuk will become a bigger factor now going forward because Samuel will be out.
Senior producer of NFL Films, Greg Cosell, is with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game. Greg, I've heard from a lot of NFL people I respect who break down the videos and whatnot, but the setup on defense on the 97-yard touchdown to Justin Jefferson really put the DBs in a bad spot and didn't make any sense. What did you see on that particular play?
Well, I can describe what happened on the play. You know, I mean, the Vikings shifted to a 2x2 set. Both tight ends were aligned to the closed boundary and stacked, and there was stacked twins to the field. It was play action. It was a shot play. They went 7-man protection. Okay, Naylor was the outside receiver in the stacked look. He ran the deep over route, and Jefferson from the inside ran the corner post. Now, post safety Brown, J.R. Brown, he was late to react to Jefferson, so he allowed him to get over the top. As a post safety, if anybody runs a post route, that's your responsibility. He did not play his responsibility properly. If he played his responsibility properly, that throw would not have been there. So, you know, my guess is, you know, I don't listen to all the interviews of teams after games. My guess is Brown probably said that he didn't play his responsibility properly, because he didn't.
Yeah, and as a result, Jefferson got deep and got over the top and was able to score from 97 yards out.
Look, it's pretty simple. If you're playing a coverage, which was essentially cover three, and so in cover three you have a deep middle safety. If any ball's caught in the deep middle, that's the responsibility of the deep post safety. So Brown made the mistake on that play. He was late to react. Now, Jefferson ran kind of a He ran a corner post. So when Jefferson, you know, made his move toward the corner, it's possible Brown thought, okay, he's going to run a sail route, and now my corner is going to be responsible for that, which who I believe was Ward, because it was to that side of the field, and Ward's the left corner. So he probably, I don't know what's in his head, but he may have thought that, okay, Jefferson is now not going to be my responsibility because he's going to run to the corner. So he sort of stopped. And then when he came back on the post, Jefferson, that is, Brown was too low and he couldn't get deep enough.
Yeah, it looked like Ward had actually followed the over route anyway, and so there was no corner help on the back side of that. And that was one of only four plays upon which the 49ers blitzed. When you look at the tape, are you seeing a team that is relying on a four-man pressure a lot?
More so, yeah. Yeah, I mean, normally they had, look, we talked about this last week. They've got a really good four-man pass rush. You know, this was an odd kind of game because the Darnold did not throw a ton of balls. This was not a game where the Vikings dropped back a lot in the game, just the way the game played out. I thought they had some issues, though, in their zone coverage concepts, and they're predominant. They play more zone than man, and particularly in the first half, I thought there were too many voids that defined the reads and the throws for Darnold and allowed him to throw within the structure of the play call and with really good timing. I thought Naylor had an 18-yard completion in the reception in the first half. Jefferson had a 16-yarder on 3rd and 13 late in the second quarter. There were the voids were too defined, and that makes it much easier for a quarterback.
Greg, I'd love your perspective on this. Just from years of watching Kyle Shanahan's system and watching the 49er games in the last, certainly at least 3 years, when you hear that Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel are both going to miss a game, that makes you think what in terms of how much the 49ers need to change a normal game plan?
Well, it'll change what they can do formationally and with some motions because we know what McCaffrey can do. Although I got to tell you, Jordan Mason continues to look really, really good. If I told you that they'd run for 100 yards and Purdy would throw for over 300, you'd probably say that the 49ers would win that game, would you not?
Yeah,
of course.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, offensively, in terms of putting up yards, that was not a problem. But I think in terms of what they can do going forward with what they can do with motions and formation diversity, that'll probably be limited to some degree because Samuel and McCaffrey are the two guys that really do that and give all those looks to the defense. So, again, I'm not, you know, in the meetings. I don't know how Kyle coaches it. Maybe it's possible that the players who will go in can do this stuff. In terms of the tactics of it, they probably can't do it as well because Samuel and McCaffrey, that's what they do. But I would imagine there'll be some limitations to what they can do from a motion perspective, and they're one of the highest percentage motion teams in the league, and from a formation multiplicity perspective.
From this perspective of the ground game, what are you seeing differently with Jordan Mason as opposed to when McCaffrey is there? Because I'm seeing a run game that's a little bit more direct inside the tackles, and I'm seeing Juszczyk used more as an on the line of scrimmage blocker. What are you seeing on the film as far as their run game concepts go?
Well, it's funny you say that because I thought that they actually ran the mid zone and wide zone run game really, really well. And I thought Mason showed an excellent feel for those runs, patience, vision. He's really good at reading his blocks and what we call defensive gap fluidity because gaps change once the ball is snapped. They're not the same as when, you know, before the snap of the ball. He's got short area burst. He runs with velocity. He hits it with speed. While you wouldn't call him shifty, he's got enough of it to navigate confined space at the second level of the defense. And he's really physically tough and competitive. I mean, he's your classic sustaining back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He gets tough, hard-earned yards. Now, he's obviously, you can't do with him in the pass game what McCaffrey is, and that does, you know, place a limitation on what they can do. So, you know, those kinds of limitations do matter over the course of time. It forces Kyle and his offensive staff to have to do some things differently.
Greg, let's start looking ahead. I got a couple questions about this matchup with the Rams this weekend. First and foremost, right, there's no McCaffrey, there's no Debo. Guess what? There's no Cooper Kupp, no Puka Nacua.
Like, yeah, I know.
Yeah, so based on your knowledge of the Rams, how much of what they do on offense is going to be unavailable because of the loss of those two stars?
Well, I mean, obviously they're going to be playing with lesser players, so I think it impacts them greatly, because one thing about Nacua in particular is he's phenomenal working between the numbers and in the middle of the field. They don't have a receiver now who can really do that. So I think you're going to see some creativity from Sean McVay. I think they'll try to run the ball. I thought the 49ers had some issues on the edge in the run game this past week. You saw Chandler have a number of runs to the edge. So I think you'll see them have to face a Rams offense that probably focuses a little more on the run game, assuming they can do it. Now, obviously, if you're going to run the ball, you have to have some success to stay on schedule. You know, Stafford is so good that, you know, he is one of those quarterbacks that if he is on, he can probably throw it to anybody, but it probably, for them as well, limits the kind of route concepts they can run. They're another team that uses a ton of motion. I mean, you're dealing with two teams that use as much motion, along with probably the Dolphins and obviously Mike McDaniel being there and his background, but you're seeing two teams that use motion as much as any team in the league.
Yeah, same background, obviously, with McVay and Shanahan and the tree they come from. How similar are these two schemes?
You're talking about McVay and Shanahan?
Yeah.
There's some similarities, but there's also some differences. Obviously, McVay is an 11 personnel guy, meaning he plays with one back, one tight end, and three wide receivers when he has all his people. So, you know, that's what he's done over the recent years. They've been among the higher percentage teams in the league playing out of 11 personnel. Clearly, we know that the 49ers under Kyle play probably 40, 45% of their offensive snaps out of what we call 21 personnel, meaning, you know, two backs and a Juszczyk. So there's a difference right there that changes the way you can run the football. You know, cause Juszczyk, in a sense, he's a fullback / tight end, but, just changes some of the blocking concepts in your run game. So there's some differences there. But the use of motion is something that they both do quite a bit.
So for the 49ers going up against a Ram team without Puka Nacua and without Cooper Kupp and likely playing a lot of 11 personnel still, would you anticipate the 49ers play a lot more base defense with three linebackers to try to stop the run game and dare Stafford to beat them with other weapons?
No, I think they'll play nickel. I don't think they're going to play base defense with three linebackers against 11 personnel. I think they'll play with their nickel. Because, I mean, there's still going to be three wide receivers on the field. So I don't think they're going to play base versus three wide receivers. I mean, is it possible on maybe some first and tens they might do that? But they're not going to do that foundationally as the way in which they play the game.
Greg, how deep of a dive did you do on the trenches in that Niner-Viking game? There's some individuals I'd love to ask you about if you got a really good look.
Sometimes I do. It depends who you want to ask me about.
Well, let me throw a couple names at you. You tell me what you saw. One on the defensive side, Javon Hargrave, big free agent signing a year ago. He's been disappointing. What are you seeing, if anything?
I think Hargrave is a better pass rusher than he is a run defender overall. I think as a pass rusher, he's very powerful and he's really good driving, you know, interior O-lineman back into the pocket. But I think that's his game more than being a run defender. I didn't study him specifically in this game, but that's who he is as a player.
And then on the other side of the ball, there's some videos starting to circulate today that are not too kind to Niners center Jake Brendel. Whatever of the six sacks and the breakdowns there, what did you see up the middle?
Oh, I mean, they got a couple of sacks on stunts, which had nothing to do with Brendel. I mean, I didn't view him, and I wasn't studying him, I'm being honest, on every play, obviously, but I didn't come away from watching the tape and seeing those sacks thinking, man, that Brendel had a really bad game. I thought there were some really well-schemed stunts that were able to get home. I think that those stunts did not involve Brendel. So, you know, it's very possible he had some bad snaps, but I don't think he was the reason that the offensive line may have struggled on, you know, in some pass protections.
The 49ers have really relied on two defensive ends, and I think that Nick Bosa had a pretty good game in week two. But what are you seeing overall from this Niners pass rush through 2 weeks so far?
I think it's two games. I think you're dealing with two guys. Bosa is a dominant player. You talk to O-linemen, which I have because I've been fortunate enough to go to events where there's O-linemen, and they talk about Bosa in just glowing terms, the kind of player that he is. So there's no problem with Bosa. I think Floyd's a solid pass rusher on the other side. He's totally different than Bosa, so he's a totally different kind of player. And then you have the interior players. Like I said, Hargrave's the best part of his game is pass rush. Collins is, I've always liked Malik Collins a lot. Now, obviously they play other players. They play Givens. He gets snaps. But I don't think the pass rush is going to be an issue. I think that down four, particularly when those guys are in pure pass situations, is a really good foursome to rush the quarterback.
Greg, real quick, I'd love to just ask you about the three surprising 2-0 teams in the NFC. Get your take on the sustainability of what they're doing, the Saints, Bucks, and Vikings.
Well, the Saints, I have found, and I've seen both of their games, both sides of the ball on tape, I think the Saints have really looked good through two games. Again, as you said, short sample size. But two things that are probably overlooked about the Saints, because everybody will want to talk about Derek Carr and all, you know, that's, everybody wants to talk about the quarterback. I think their O-line through two games has been phenomenal. Athletic, physical, really strong points. See, there's a perfect example where when you watch tape, it jumps out. Like, I'm not saying, oh, I better watch the O-line, but it jumps out when you watch their tape. And the other thing is I think they have a really, really good defense. And Dennis Allen, when you talk to offensive coaches in the league, they will tell you that he is very difficult to play against. And they've got really good players at all three levels of their defense. And he does a lot of things. There's a lot of versatility with use of personnel and with tactics. So I've been really, really impressed with the Saints through 2 weeks.
Greg, we're always really, really impressed with your visits, man. Thank you so much for coming on as always.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.